Okay, so I'm going to be presenting today on youth risk behaviors among New Orleans adolescents during the period 1997 to 2007. I'd like to start off with some acknowledgments, first to the CDC's Steps to a Healthier U.S. Program for funding the YRBS in New Orleans, also to the Louisiana Public Health Institute. I was employed by them while I did this research, and of course they provided quite a bit of support to me. Also to the City of New Orleans Health Department. They are actually the grantee for the CDC STEPS program, but they contract with the Louisiana Public Health Institute to do the YRBS and other things. I also wanted to thank Nancy Spiker at WestDAT, whose technical assistance to me was absolutely outstanding, and to Laura Kahn, who is kind of the mother of the YRBS, and despite her high position and heavy workload, I'm sure, was just really approachable and helpful to me and very enthusiastic about getting the New Orleans data in. And finally, I want to give a special thanks to Sidonia Taylor. She did the data collection for the YRBS in New Orleans for several years, and in 2005 she had completed the data collection and was working on kind of cleaning up the surveys when Katrina hit, and she packed up all of those Scantron questionnaires into her car when she evacuated, and she finished cleaning them up and sent them to the CDC from her hotel room while she was evacuated, and if she hadn't done that, we wouldn't have this 2005 data. She also helped us collect the 2007 data, and I can honestly say that without her ability to get her foot in the door with all of these public schools that she had worked with for years and years, I don't think we would have been able to do the 2007 either. Okay, just a few words about the background and significance of the data that I'm going to be presenting. I'm going to be presenting on risk factors that are related to the obesity epidemic and also tobacco use. Obviously, those are two of our largest public health problems. The relation between adolescent weight and adult weight has been established as a very direct relationship, as well as the relation between adolescent smoking and adult smoking. So adolescence is a really good time to be looking at the weight and the smoking behaviors, as well as nutrition and physical activity. New Orleans historically has very high rates of obesity and overweight, so this is a good place to be looking at these risk factors. Rates of smoking among youth are actually lower, but they tend to start smoking very early, at least experiment with smoking very early, so it's a good behavior to monitor. And then this is really the first systematic look at adolescent risk behaviors in post-Katrina New Orleans. So this slide, I put this up here just to kind of show you how the idea for this was generated. Basically, we were looking at the BRFSS data on adult smoking, and we saw exactly what we expected to see, given what our own experiences living in post-Katrina New Orleans was. What we saw was that smoking went up after the storm, and then it seemed to be coming a little bit back down after that. And I wish I had a slide on quit attempts and quit rates, but that's really what was driving this, was that people stopped trying to quit right after the storm, or they relapsed if they already had quit, or if they tried to quit, they didn't succeed, presumably because of the high levels of stress in their lives at that point. And I actually worked on a poster that's being presented, I think, this afternoon on mental health and smoking in New Orleans, and we found a very direct relationship between mental health problems and smoking, and these, of course, both rose after the storm and then started to recover a bit in the 2007 BRFSS. Okay, so the behaviors that I'm going to be looking at today with this YRBS data are physical activity, nutrition, overweight, obesity, and weight management behaviors, and tobacco use. And of course, taken together, these are really big drivers of obesity and cancer. So to kind of set the stage a little bit for what New Orleans was like during these years, I really kind of want to focus on the school system because, of course, that's where we're catching the adolescents with the YRBS. Louisiana schools were rated 47th out of the 50 states. That was on one ranking. You can also find them rated as 48th or 49th. The Orleans Parish schools, we call our counties in Louisiana, we call them parishes. The Orleans Parish schools were rated 67th out of the 68th. Out of 68 parishes. There were corruption scandals and widespread acceptance of failure in the public schools, and the Louisiana Department of Education was taking over failed schools even before the storm hit. So as you can see, there were really a lot of problems going on in the school system, and you would think that it was the kind of environment that would promote risk-taking behaviors. The STEPS program was funded in 2003, and it was a five-year program. So it went from 2003 to 2008 in New Orleans. And of course, Hurricanes Katrina and Rita hit in the fall of 2005. So that was right smack in the middle of the STEPS program. The hurricanes had a huge impact on a lot of different things, but particularly on the school system, I would say. And this is really important in terms of the work STEP was trying to do in terms of influencing school policy to increase physical activity and nutrition in the schools. The period between 2006 and 2008, I would say, was really a period of repopulation and recovery in New Orleans. In the fall of 2006, about a third of the public school students had returned to New Orleans. And by the spring of 2007, that was up to about a half of the public school students. And at that time, there were 55 schools open in New Orleans, and there were 30 different entities operating them. So before the storm, there was the Orleans Parish School Board, and there were two charter schools. So after the storm, instead of three operators, we had 30 operators. So you can think about the impact this might have on trying to influence school policy. Before the storm, we had really one big entity we had to go to. Granted, they were pretty resistant to change. After the storm, we had 30 different entities. They weren't even thinking about change because they were all brand new, so it was all new what they were doing. So it was a great opportunity to try to influence policy, but no longer could you get a policy changed with one signature. You now needed 30 people that you needed to track down, find out who they were, and then approach them and try to convince them that in the middle of all the chaos that they're in right now trying to rebuild the school system, they need to be thinking about physical activity and nutrition. So it was really quite a challenge. However, during this time, we did see some very positive legislation passed, and I think that we may be seeing the results of some of these things in the YRBS data. In 2004, the Physical Education Act was passed. Now, this does not actually apply directly to high school students who are interviewed in the YRBS, but it was a very positive step, and it required that schools have required structured PE programs 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day. So it was really a pretty good regulation, a big step up for New Orleans. And I think that it, while it didn't directly impact high school policies, it did send the message to the schools that in the middle of trying to increase your academic performance and get the kids to do better on the standardized test, you really need to be thinking about physical activity as well. In 2007, the Healthy Vending Act was passed, and this act regulated what could be put in vending machines that were intended for student use. And so it had nutritional requirements for the food and the beverages in the vending machines, and it also restricted when they could be open for student use. We also had, at January 1st in 2007, the Louisiana Smoke-Free Air Act. And of course, smoking was already prohibited in schools, but this prohibited it on the entire campus. So not only were the kids protected from secondhand smoke, but also they had better examples at school because no one was actually smoking on the campus. And just to say, in case you're not familiar with the STEPS program, I wanted to mention that it's a CDC-funded program to use community-based and collaborative methods to reduce obesity, diabetes, and asthma in funded states, large cities, and small cities and tribes. Okay. So now I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background on the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System. You may already know this, but it's comprised of several different levels of YRBS. There's the national YRBS, there are state and local YRBSs, and then there's also STEPS community YRBSs. And of course, this one in New Orleans was originally just a local YRBS, and then in 2005 and 2007, it was considered a STEPS community YRBS. To give you a feel for the sample size, in 2005, the New Orleans YRBS had 1,611 respondents. That's the highest of any STEPS community. In 2007, then it went up to 2,036 respondents. Of course, the national YRBS is much larger. Their sample size is around 14,000. The New Orleans survey took place in 1997, 1999, 2001, 2005, and 2007. So it was every 2 years, like the YRBS has typically done, but in 2003 they did not get weighted data, so I can't include that in any of my charts. Okay, this slide, which I hope you can see, gives you a feel for the demographics of the New Orleans public school system. It also shows you the level of enrollment both before the storm and after the storm. If you look on the left hand of the slide and you see the blue line at the top, that's total enrollment, and it was about 66,000 before the storm. The line just below that, the green one, shows you the African American students. So it's obviously a very high proportion of the public school students. The yellow line shows you the number of free and reduced lunch eligible students. So clearly it's a fairly low income population in the New Orleans public schools. And then at the very bottom I have a purple line that represents the Hispanic population among the students. And I put that in there, it's obviously very low. It was 1% before the storm and 2% after the storm. But I put that in there because New Orleans did experience a demographic shift after the storm, and an increase in the Latino population. But I wanted to show that it was not a huge increase in the public school population, I think, because a lot of the people who were coming to New Orleans were coming for jobs and not necessarily bringing their families. If you look at the enrollment after the storm, you'll see in October 2005, it's at zero. Actually, the first public school to open was my kid's school, and it opened on October 31st, 2005. So the total enrollment increases very sharply to October of 2006, and remember that's where I said there were a third of the students returned, and then increases again to October of 2007, where you have about half of the pre-Katrina students enrolled. And the proportion of African American and free and reduced lunch eligible and Hispanic really remains pretty similar as the schools repopulated. So my objective and my research questions for this project, the objective was to monitor selected youth risk behaviors in New Orleans over a 10-year period with an emphasis on pre-Katrina and post-Katrina comparisons. And the questions I wanted to ask are, what are the secular trends in youth risk behaviors related to childhood obesity and tobacco use? And are there significant differences in these behaviors between the pre-Katrina and post-Katrina periods? Quick word about the methods. The YRBS uses a two-stage cluster sample design. First, they sample schools that have any kids in grades 9 through 12, and then they sample intact classes at some required period. So either that's required English class that all the students have to take, or that's second period class or something like that. They use pen and paper scanned questionnaires, and the surveys are completed during a class period to increase response rate. In 2007, the overall response rate was 83% for the New Orleans YRBS. In 2005, it was 60%. For the analysis, the CDC performed data cleaning and analysis on this data. Missing data were not imputed statistically. They were weighted to adjust for non-response with respect to grade, sex, and race ethnicity, and SAS and Sudan were used to calculate prevalence estimates and confidence intervals. Okay, now I'm going to go through my results. First, I'll go over the physical activity, and then the nutrition, then overweight, obesity, and weight management, and then tobacco use. So for physical activity, first, I just want to make all of these slides a little easier for you to understand. What I've done on every slide is I've made a solid line that represents the New Orleans prevalence estimates, and a dotted line that represents the U.S. counterpart to that exact indicator. So the biggest news on this slide, if you look over on the right-hand side, I only have 2005 and 2007 data for that dark blue line, but that's the proportion of students who met the physical activity recommendations. And here we're talking about 60 minutes, 5 days a week of activity that raises your heart rate or makes you breathe hard. So you can see a very dramatic increase in students meeting these physical activity requirements or recommendations between 2005 and 2007. And if that trend continues at all, I would be very interested to find out what is behind that. Unfortunately, I don't have the data to explain it, but it looks like very good news. When you look at the dark blue dotted line, that's the U.S. counterpart to that New Orleans data, and as you can see, it remained steady or came down a bit in that time period. So something very interesting is going on in New Orleans in terms of physical activity. If you look at the red lines, this is watching 3 hours or more of TV a day. And you can see that the solid red line is way above the dotted red line. Obviously, TV watching is much more common among New Orleans students. You know, that amount of TV watching is much more common than it is among their U.S. counterparts. But it is slightly on the decline. Unfortunately, I don't have the video game usage, so I couldn't calculate screen time. So I don't know if that decrease in TV time is made up for by an increase in computer time. Okay. So then if you look at the yellow line, this is having PE class one or more times a week, and you can see that the solid yellow line, which is the New Orleans data, used to be greater than the U.S. line and then fell below. I think they must, between 1999 and 2003, they must have had an increased focus on academics in some of these failing schools, and that's why the PE class requirement went down. But then it basically has caught up to the U.S. average by 2007. And you see a very similar pattern with having PE class daily. That's the light blue line. Okay, moving on to nutrition. The main indicator here is fruit and vegetable consumption. The YRBS uses the same measure of fruit and vegetable consumption that's used in the BRFSS, in case you're familiar with that. Basically, it's six questions about what students have eaten in the last week, and they take those six questions and make them into an index of how many servings of fruit and vegetables the students have had. So we saw an insignificant increase in the number of students who were consuming fruits and vegetables at least five times a day, but we did see some individual increases that were significant. So in 100% fruit juice, that was consumed significantly more in 2007. Actual fruit was consumed more, and then other vegetables, which gets asked after potatoes, carrots, and green salad. So other vegetables or any other vegetables excluding potatoes, carrots, and green salad. There was also an insignificant increase in the consumption of carrots and green salad and an insignificant decrease in the consumption of potatoes. So when you look at this index of fruits and vegetables at least five times a day, what you see is that for some reason in 2003 it was much higher in New Orleans, but generally it tracks the U.S. average. Okay, this is a really interesting chart in my mind, so I'm going to walk you through each of the lines. When you look at students who are at risk for overweight, which is defined as a BMI that's between the 85th percentile and the 95th percentile for their age, so that's the blue solid line, you see is substantially higher than the blue dotted line, which is the U.S. at risk for overweight, and that's pretty steady over time. When you look at the red lines, the red solid line is students who are overweight, which is defined as a BMI that is 95th percentile or higher. Again, the solid line is way above the red line, so you can see that this is a real problem in New Orleans. What's interesting to me about this chart is that when you look at the yellow lines, these are students who perceive themselves as overweight or very overweight. And you look at that solid line for New Orleans, it's right there in the low 20s, okay? So if you were to take New Orleans students who are overweight and combine them with those students who are at risk for overweight, so this is 85th percentile and above on BMI, that's about 34% of students. But we have 20% of students reporting that they perceive themselves as overweight. If you compare that with the U.S., the overall U.S. line is the dotted line at the very top. Okay, so if you take U.S. students who are overweight and add that to those who are at risk for being overweight, that's 28% of the student population, and 29% of the population perceive them as overweight. So those two numbers are very close to each other. But in New Orleans, it's much lower for perception of overweight. Now, just as a quick way to test if this might be related to cultural issues, because the New Orleans population is so predominantly African American, I just put in a line there for U.S. African American population, and that's what that middle yellow line is. So it's really right in between the U.S. overall and the New Orleans. So I think what you see here is that there's some sort of cultural phenomenon going on in New Orleans where adolescents don't perceive themselves as overweight at nearly the rate that they do in U.S. Okay, this slide shows you some of the behaviors that adolescents might engage in to try to lose weight. What you see is, looking at the blue lines, that's students who report that they have exercised to lose weight. This is considered a healthy way to try to lose weight, and you can see that there's a very significant upward trend in that for New Orleans, so that's really good news. When you look at reducing calorie or fat intake, that's the purple lines, and New Orleans is much lower than the U.S. in general and does not seem to be increasing on that particular healthy way to lose weight. The yellow refers to fasting for 24 hours or more as a way to try to lose weight. Okay, this falls into the unhealthy methods of losing weight. And as you can see, the New Orleans students generally tend to do that more than their U.S. counterparts. There was also a question about using laxatives, diet pills, liquids, and vomiting as a way to try to lose weight. And again, New Orleans came up higher on that than the U.S. did. But there was a downward trend in that, so that's good news. This slide deals with tobacco use, and as you can see, there are dramatic decreases in tobacco use, as you would see in the United States more generally. The solid lines show you that New Orleans, for students who have ever tried smoking, it's lower than the U.S. generally. It's coming downward in the same manner. But it's really, it's when you look at current smoking that you see that New Orleans adolescents really aren't smoking very much. It's much lower than the U.S. average. So the take-home message of this slide is that the New Orleans students really, they try smoking, and they do it at a young age, but they don't seem to stick with it. And so I think that that deserves some research to figure out why that is, because there's some success there. The yellow lines at the bottom will show you current smokeless use. It's a little unclear what's going on with that, whether it's going up or down. It does seem to be lower than the U.S. in general, but I think this is something that needs to be watched, because it is it is something that the tobacco companies are marketing a lot, and so we need to figure out what's going on with that. Okay, so for the limitations of my presentation here, the comparisons to the U.S. include very different population, and so that all has to be taken with a grain of salt. Another limitation is that the YRBS does not include non-public schools in New Orleans. Before Katrina, about 28% of students were going to private schools, and in the fall of 2006, that went way up to 41%. So this is a very large number of adolescents who are not getting reached with this survey, and I don't know of any other survey that will tell you what's going on with risk behaviors among these kids. And in New Orleans, with that large private school population, those are not rich kids. I mean, it's a wide range of demographics. The other thing that we don't know is, what about the kids who left New Orleans and were not able to return? Is that why some of these numbers look better, because some of the kids who were engaging in high-risk behaviors left and now they're engaging those behaviors elsewhere? We don't know, and it would be very interesting to find that out. Finally, for my conclusions, what I'd like to say about New Orleans is that it has experienced some very big changes and has some very big problems, but the youth risk behaviors seem to be improving, and that's really good news. We've experienced some definite improvements in policy that may lead to further decreases in high-risk behaviors, but there are some things that we really need to watch out for, like smokeless tobacco use, cigars, also fast foods in the schools. We had another survey of the schools where we found that after the storm, 5 of the schools were offering brand name fast foods as part of their school lunch. Now, no schools were doing that before the storm, so I don't know if that's related to lots of the schools opening without having functioning kitchens after the storm, and so then it'll just go away as those kitchens get rebuilt, or if this is some kind of trend where the fast food companies are really getting their foot in the door here. So I don't know which one it is, but we need to look at that. And then, of course, any other risks that are not covered by the YRBS also need to be looked at. Okay.
Thank you.